So like I said to some people, because you guys, like a lot of you haven't really gotten that far in, so I think I'll give a more introductory thing on Ben Sira Moreh, and then we'll get into more, you know, textual things next week. I also said to some people, this was the first shiur I gave, first co-ed shiur I gave when I got back from Chernobyl, when two weeks into YU, I went to Columbia for Shabbos, and they didn't have anyone to give shiur like Thursday, so they asked me to give shiur by your peers. So that was fun. And then just to terrify me, my friend Rafi Rosen who I was staying by, and therefore he forced me to do this, to take the dare that if any girl could stump me, that I would have to ask her out on the spot. This, of course, did not happen. But what? Stumped me while I was giving shiur. That didn't happen. Thank God. That would have been like a nightmare. I love that this is recording. I feel like I should send this to Rafi just for fun. What? No, he'll appreciate.
Tell him I say hi.
Hi, Rafi. Ravi was someone my ear and shiva from Boston. Very nice. Okay, so I want to just try to give a mahalach to understanding Mitzvah Remorah. I gave it, in addition to having given this, you know, whatever it was, 7 years ago now, six, whatever it was, whenever I got back from yeshiva, I also gave it over to Rabbi Waxman last night with his approval. So it makes me feel good. Okay, so even if you guys haven't gone through the Gemara, you know the basics of Ben Sira Moreh, right? The pasuk said, "Ki yelish Ben Sira Moreh, and nenu shomei v'kol aviv v'kol imo v'yisro so v'lo yishma liyem v'tafsu bo aviv imo otio so zeknei rov v'sharm v'kamo v'amrul zeknei rov yiro b'neinu zeh sorer moreh nenu shomei v'kol leinu zelo v'zover gemu kol anshei rov b'avanem u'meis v'yatar rami kerbecha v'chol yishel yishmu v'yiro. You know, what exactly his sin is, it's not entirely clear. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Sorer Sarmen Aderech, Umore Misarev B'divrei Aviv, Lashon Mamrim. It sounds like there's a combination of sort of objective straying from the path, going off the path, and then the second level of rebelling against his parents. In the Sifrei, you have Redar Acher, Sorer, Min Shemor Lasmo Derech Acheres, Dar Acher, Bishvil, Jachal Zem Mamar Aviv, Amarde Ben Sira Moreh, Yomos Ela Nidin Al Shem Sofo Muta of Yomos Zakav Emes Chayev, that's already in the Gemara, that we kill him Al Shem Sofo. In the next Sifrei, you see a different perspective of what exactly he did wrong. Edor Acher, Sor Al Devrei Aviv, Amor Al Devrei Imo, Sor Al Devrei Torah, Umor Al Devrei Nevirim, Sor Al Devrei Edim, Umor Al Devrei Dayanim. And there's all a combination to what extent is it against his parents and against the Torah, is it against religion in general, the whole right discussion of what exactly is going on. What everyone knows basically about Ben Sira Moreh is that the Gemara has a very serious problem with Ben Sira Moreh, because right, Ben Sira Moreh is what, right, if you did the first daf, is a, just factually, what is he? He's a person between 13 and 13 and a half. Not actually a katan, but that's the Gemara's whole question. How could he be? He can't be a katan. He was not chayiv an onshin. What? Right. Exactly. So he's 13 to 13 and a half, a very specific time. And what did he do wrong? He ate some meat, drank some wine, and then we kill him. Right, so the Gemara has a problem with this. And the Gemara, right, there's something wrong, like with the whole story. So the Gemara has a few solutions to this problem. Right, one is to say,
stealing.
Right, one is to say the most famous one, which is Yamos Al Shem Sofo. Right, the others are Lohayo Veloniyavra. Right, never happened. Right, so like, okay, it's a paradigm. But it doesn't really exist.
That doesn't solve it theologically, though.
It doesn't solve the theological problem unless you assume fundamentally that it was never supposed to happen. But again, doesn't necessarily solve the problem. But the most famous answer is Yamos Zakav Yamos Chayev Nereg Al Shem Sofo. Okay? Now, I don't want to get into here because this is, I assume, I know this is what Ray Waxman is doing on Thursday. I don't know whether it's what Steven's doing, but it's a good chance what Steven's doing. Which is the question is, what exactly is Nerag al Shem Sofo? The two basic Mahalchim and Rishonim are either Nerag al Shem Sofo means, well, what are the two possibilities? Nerag al Shem Sofo, right? Let's do this classic Brisker Lumdus. Yeah, I mean, either it's a Siba, it's like you're actually punishing him in advance, right? The Gzeiras HaKasuv here, right, is that we advance his punishment early. But really, 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 we think inevitably he's going to be a murderer. We just push up the punishment. Now, there are technical problems with this, such as, what's the punishment for murder? Hereg. What punishment does Mansur Amora get? Skila. Right, which leads to the Chizkuni and the Dasakin and Balaidosus to say, oh, it must be that we assume he's going to kill on Shabbos. Right, this is, right, like, that's the other possibility is to say, what, right? Yeah, meaning it's a siman. The fact that this will lead to bad activity later on means that fundamentally now he's worthy of being killed. Right? That's basically the two malachim. I don't want to get bogged down in it. You know, that there are a lot of fancy lumdus to do there. What I want to focus on is particularly the Ramban's position, which I think is the most coherent, though it's difficult to understand exactly what he's doing. It's a very famous piece in Ramban. I want to focus on it, try to understand what Bensur Amora is exactly. And that's my goal, basically, for tonight. Okay, so I want to read the Ramban carefully. You have the Ramban, right? That I gave you, yeah? Okay, so Bensur Amora. And I want you to answer, think about the following question in the Ramban. Right, why does the Ramban think that a Bensur Amora is killed? And you're going to see there's somewhere between 2.5, 3.5 reasons, different answers. And it's going to be very unclear how to work them together. And what we're going to try to do is figure out the Ramban's conception of Bensur Amora, a consistent shita, okay? So Ramban says as follows, Bensur Amora, al das rabo seinu, eino katan, sha katan patr mikol onshin shiba Torah. And we call him mitzvos. So first thing he says, Chazal say that he's not actually a katan. He is 13 to 13 and a half. Because otherwise he wouldn't be chayv in punishment. So, vihine yeshalav shnei onshin. He has two punishments. I mean, he did two things wrong. Ha'echad, shehu makle aviv imo umam rebohem. The first thing he does wrong is, makle, what's makle? It's degrade. Right? Mikalel is to curse. Right now, the R Rishonim assume he's going to curse his parents, and that's why he gets skila. Right, that. But makleh, right, is makleh may be a separate iser. Right, usually we know that there's kibud avaim and there's mora avaim. There is a tshuva in the nitziv where he assumes it's actually a third iser because in the klolos you have arur makleh aviv imo. Right, so he assumes it's actually a third iser, which is degrading and really whatever debasing your parents. The Malbim even thinks that Goyim are chayev in kibud avaim midin makle. I assume they're chayev in all the errors. See, the first thing he does wrong is being punished for makle aviv imo, for degrading, debasing his parents. That's one. Vasheni, the second thing he did, shehu zolel v'sovei, it is a glutton and a drunkard, over al mashen itztaveinu kedoshim to you. And he violates kedoshim to you. Now, according to the Ramban, what does Kedoshim Tiyu mean? I didn't put this, but this is famous. You should know. Navar b'shara Torah. Right? Now, but more importantly, right, what does the Ramban explain? Right? What is, right? The phrase everyone remembers is Navar b'shara Torah, but what exactly is the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu? No, that's Rashi. Rashi is Precious. Right? Right. But what exactly, you're right, but what exactly does he say? Right? Does anyone remember from when I get anyone who's comes to Thursday methodology remember what the Ramban says exactly? The Ramban says that it's efshar for the Torah to write a laundry list of everything you should do. So after it finished listing all the mitzvos, chazar v'kalal, it came back and gave overarching value-based mitzvos, which tell you that you should keep the spirit of the law and not just the letter of the law. In interpersonal mitzvos, the pasuk was Vasisa Yashavatov, right? It could have been Vafarecha Mocha, but he picks Vasisa Yashavatov. He has a different conception of what Vafarecha Mocha means. In Bin Adam Lamakom, it's Kedosh Shem Tiyu, and he has other examples, right? Shabbaton tells you the notion of making sure that Shabbos is Shabbistic and not just keeping the Malachos. So, Kedosh Shem Tiyu, meaning keeping the spirit of the law, right? And one of the examples he gives there that's a breach of Kedosh Shem Tiyu is being Zoel Vesovei, is being a glutton or a drunkard. V'nemar od, and the third thing, v'oso tavodu votid bakun, and the third thing you're violating is the chiyuv to cling to God. Kasher perashti shinetzaveinu ladas Hashem b'chol derecheinu. We recommend it to know God in all of our ways. V'zolel v'sovei lo yeda derech Hashem. V'ala klal, ein bo'ata chet maves, but now he doesn't have he's not actually worthy of capital punishment. V'al shem sofa hu nidon, and he's killed for what he's going to do, Kamoshe Eskira Rabosenu, V'zeh Tam Kol Yisrael Yishmu V'yirau, and this is the reason that all of Klal Yisrael shall see his death. It's one of the cases where you have to publicize the punishment. Kilo Humas Begodel Cheto Ela Liaser Bo Esarabim V'sholiyet Akol Al Achirim, because he isn't killed because of the gravity of his sin, but rather because of the problems it will cause to other people. V'chein derech ha'kosev sheyazir ken kasher yamisu legeder k'dei sh'tiyeh b'mitzasam takana l'achirim, and this is the way the Torah talks in general when we have what's called a deterrent punishment, right? That's just like the technical term. T'yizkir ken b'zakin mamre l'fishe, and he gives other examples, zakin mamre, mesis, etc. So now, according to the Ramban, why is the Mansur Amora killed? Well, let's analyze all the pieces that he said, right? He says, well, first question, did the Mansur Amora do something wrong, according to Ramban? Yes, right? So he's being killed, first of all, because he did something wrong. What did he do wrong? He either violated Maklav Avimo, he violated Kedoshim Tiva, violated Vosid Bakur, right? So one element of the Ramban is that he actually sinned. And then immediately after the Ramban says, he's actually killed, Hashem Sofo. Right? Now, what's the problem with those two statements? That he didn't do something wrong, right? He's killed for what he's going to do, not what he did. Well, not necessarily, but let's just isolate the elements of the Ramban here. And then the third thing he says is, why is he really killed? Deterrent, right? I mean, further, Luman Yishmu V'yirau. Right now, what is, in general, what typifies deterrent punishments? No, that not necessarily, I mean, yes, but not necessarily, is that the punishment isn't, the reason you're punished is not fundamentally retributive against you, but for others, right? So now we have three elements here. At one level, he did something wrong. At another level, he's being killed for what he's going to do. And at a third level, he's being killed because of what he's going to cost others. So there's three things going on in the Ramban, right? And it's not entirely clear how they all work together, right, coherently. So what I want to suggest is as follows, right? Is one is that he did something wrong, right? A minor sin, admittedly, but something wrong. He violated Kedosh Shem Tiyu, Maklav Avim Avosid Bakun. Two is Nerag Al Shem Sofo, is that it's an anticipatory punishment. And three is that it's a deterrent punishment. He's actually not being punished for himself. He's being punished to teach other people a lesson. So what I would suggest is as follows. The Ramban fundamentally thinks that the Mansur Amora did something wrong. Okay, that's clear in the Ramban, right? Clear that he did something wrong. What's equally clear? Right, meaning he did something wrong, but it's not wrong enough, right, to warrant capital punishment. For the Ramban, what warrants capital punishment? Well, actually, no. Let's be careful in the Ramban. The deterrent, right? Kilo humas begodel cheto, eli yaser bo sarabim. What justifies turning his sin into a capital offense is the deterrent element, right? He only needs that. What's my proof that he means that specifically? Right. What's the next paragraph? And this is like the other three cases of deterrent punishments. Zaken Mamre, where he didn't do something that wrong, but it caused Machlokas B'Yisrael, and Mesis, which he didn't actually worship Avodah Zarah, but he undermines the system by telling other people to do Avodah Zarah. And the Ron says this explicitly. The Ron in Sanhedrin Petet, presumably getting from the Ramban, thinks that these four, whether the other punishments in the Torah are deterrent, retributive, rehabilitative, whatever, you can... There isn't really a good summary, but I have an article coming out in Tradition on this topic, so we can talk about it later. But I feel like... In Tradition, I know, right? It's scary, right? It was more like I was talking it over with Rai Karmi, and who's the editor, and he's like, oh, you should write that up, and I'll publish it for you. And so then he sent it to two blind editors, and then my first week in a lunch, Rabbi Ziegler came over to me for Shabbos, and he's like, I liked your article. Oh, I'm sorry, I was the blind editor on your article. I'm like, thanks, of course you were. The entire editorial staff besides Rai Karmi lives on the same block. Right, it's Rai Ziegler, Rai Blau, Rai Brody. They live whatever around the corner from each other. Okay. Classic lunch book. What? I've heard rumors that there is. that there is. Exactly. Okay. So now we have two parts in the Ramban that are clear, right? The Ramban clearly thinks he did something wrong, but what warrants moving his relatively minor offense to the level of capital punishment is deterrence. Now, what's the role of Nereg al Shem Sofo?
Why make him a deterrence unless somebody works with the
punishment? Why?
Justify on some individual level.
So he doesn't actually say that, right? I could hear that, but he doesn't say that, right? Ki lo humas begodol cheto, right?
Like a Macy, he did a sin.
He also did a sin. He violated Kedushim Tiyu. He violated Kippur Aveim. No, a venial sin, but...
In the end, he caused people to sin in the end. So if Allah Shem Tov, he's going to cause people to sin in the end of the day. As opposed to... So... Then,
okay. So I think that you're basically right. And I think the role of Nereg al Shem Sofo is as follows. Is that... What is Ramban saying? The reason that it's worth killing the person... is because of the deterrent. But what are you trying to deter? Right? What are you trying to educate people about that you or it's worth carrying out Ben Saramo, right? So, presumably, what it sounds like from Ramban is as follows. The fact that violating Kedoshim Tiyu or violating Kibbut Aveim, or violating Vosid Bakun, will inevitably lead to Nereg, right, what would Nereg al Shem Sofo, what would happen at the end, indicates what about these three relatively minor mitzvos? That while they themselves are not chamor, their centrality to Torah, or and a civil society, is extremely apparent, is extremely important. And therefore, we are convinced that if somebody doesn't internalize the notion of Kedoshim Tiyu, namely, that you have to keep the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law, or Kibbut Aveim, meaning the value of authority within society, or Vosid Bakun, which is the general value of having a spiritual relationship, we are convinced that this, because this, it's a siman and a siva, right? The fact that that will lead to something else, right? The fact that that would lead to the total breakdown of society, or his life, indicates that these small things are really much more fundamental than they seem. Therefore, right, what I think is that for the Ramban, right, really Ben Saramora is educational. It's educational to teach people the importance of these mitzvos because their centrality to Torah, right, is so deep such that if someone's already violating these things, which themselves are not chiyuvei misa, we are convinced that it will lead to utter corruption. Right? And if you think about the centrality of Kedoshim Tiyu in the Ramban, right, it makes sense. Right? Kedoshim Tiyu isn't just another mitzvah. It's he violated that which represented the entire spirit of the Torah. Now, similarly, you'll find like in the Urayim, Ravaran quotes this a lot, I put this also, right? That... he said, "Siva borish lelech adam b'chukas hagoyim lirdov achare shviras libeinu levavavo liozol v'sovei dechsev b'parshas kedoshim tiyu loselchu b'chukas hagoyim v'chukas hagoyim zolim v'sovayim." Mikan lemanu azhar leben sura more. That he says, "Where's the azhara for ben sura more? B'chukosem loselechu." In other words, Right? The averos that he's doing may be minor, but they're fundamentally not Jewish. Right? That the attitude he has is a right. The fact that it's a violation of Chukos Eim Lo Zileichu indicates that it's fundamentally the antithesis of Torah. Now, I think what this explains, which is when I originally came up with this, was actually a much more minor question. The Yad Rama asks, right, I don't, how far are people in the, I don't know how far you are. What happens if the Ben Sora Mora in Toch Kedei, him eating this, you know, his meat and wine, he has treif meat. What's the halacha?
Oh, it's not.
He's not. Why?
Because it's not
exactly. Right, but not, right.
It's not.
But why, right? Like, I know the Xeris Akasov, but why? Or the Yad Ramah asked the obvious question. I don't understand. If at any level, Ben Sora Mora is a punishment for what he did, I don't care. If it's Neragal Shem Sofo, I don't care what it is. Right? Even if you think it's Neragal Shem Sofo, that it's anticipatory, do you honestly think that somebody who eats treif is less likely to be a murderer than anybody else? Right? I mean, if it's really Neragal Shem Sofo, right? So then what difference does it make? Right?
Maybe it's just that.
No, but he could eat as many meats as he wants. But I mean, I think
not
you're right. I think you're right. That's exactly what I think is based on the Ramban. I would answer is that what really allows you to kill him, the matir to kill him, is what is the educational element. But let's say this guy was over a million Yisurim, right? So when you killed him, what would people say? Why are you killing him? Because a bad guy did a veris, he ate treif, he did whatever. So, but is eating treif something worth killing him for? Mm-hmm. No. But once you start mixing in the yisurim,
it messes
up the educational aspect. He may be more chayev, but it doesn't isolate the yisurim. It doesn't indicate that it's not that we're killing him because he did something formally wrong, but that he missed the point of the Torah entirely, and therefore we're convinced that because he missed the spirit of the law, having nothing to do with violating the letter of the law, that we're killing him. Right? That we're convinced that these are the values that society needs, a Jewish society needs to run, regardless of whether he formally violated the Yisurim. In other words, right, it's not that his sin got less, his sin got worse, but Davka making sin worse, right, it would confuse it and make it seem that we're punishing him for his sin and not to teach people the value of Kedoshim Tiyu or the value of authority or the value of Uvosid Bakum. The sort of Makah Patish to this shot, I think, is the Yerushalmi. Right? In the Bavli, right, what is the last thing on the list? Right? What is the last thing the Ben Sora Mora is going to do that we punish him for? Sofo. He's going to use up his parents' money, and then when he uses up his parents' money, he's going to go all parts of Drachim, and he's going to steal, and then he's going to kill. So you look at the Yerushalmi. I gave you the Yerushalmi, yeah? Yeah. So, this is a terrifying piece. Tzipa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the future. Sheshov Zeh Asid Ligmor Nichsei Aviv Ves Nichsei Imo. He's going to eventually use up his parents' money. The Yoshid Lo B'Parshas Drachim, and he's going to sit at the... on the highway, he's going to steal, he's going to kill. What's the next line? And then he's going to forget his learning. Right? So the Torah said he should die when he's innocent. Right? Because the death of tzaddikim is good for them and good for the world, and the life of tzaddikim is good, you know, is good for them, and their death is bad. Right, so what's the Makah Patish for the Yerushalmi? Not murder, but forgetting his learning. Right, which al panav seems very, very strange. Right, why would forgetting your learning be worse than murder? Right, this is... The assumption here is that it's not. Right, I understand that people might not agree with what I just said, but the assumption is that... I understand. People are very formalistic about the Mishnah, that anyone who forgets his Torah learning and raises his chayav nafsho. I understand. Great. But I think what the Yerushalmi is really getting at is no, is that you're not killing him because of what he did wrong, but you're killing him because of your conviction that there's no turning back from the path he's on. What's a siman to the fact there's no turning back? That we predict that at the end he's going to forget the values, right? So foolish, what, right, in the end of the day, right, what is the hope when someone is a criminal to rehabilitate him? That he's going to be able to come back in touch with the basic values of his society, and he'll be able to rehabilitate himself. But if we can predict that he's already so corrupt that the that so foolish goes Talmud, at the end he's even going to forget his values, right? So then, Yom Zakai Yom Hayev. It's not that we're killing him because he's forgetting his learning. That's indicative of the fact that we're killing him because this value, the things he's violating, are so central that we can't see him getting out of this corruption, out of this quagmire that he finds himself in, right? So Sach HaKol, what I think Ben Sura Mora is, what justifies it, okay, is that really the point of Ben Sura Mora is the education in it, right? That we're educating the people about the importance of the not just the letter of the law, but the values of it. And therefore we have to isolate it. It can't be did anything formally wrong. It has to be that he only violated these things that are seemingly minor, but are not, because they're so central to the Torah that we're convinced that if you mess up on them in a real way, you are inevitably going to be corrupt. Kedoshim Tiyu, whatever, authority, etc., etc. And the same with Yerushalmi, that if we know that he won't be able to get himself out of it, that's why we have to kill him. And that's the real Makav Patish, that's what allows us to kill him. And I think that's what's going on, and that, right, explains why, again, we have to isolate it, that he can't actually have done anything formally wrong in order to get the message across. Okay? So I think that's the sort of basic idea of Ben Sura Mora that I think solves a lot of the questions in the sugya. There are obviously still a lot of questions in the sugya, but I think that's a basic mahalach to think about. I suggested when I gave this show the first time, some people liked it, and you can tell me what you think, is that if the mitzvah of Ben Sura Mora fundamentally is educational, then might indicate why we have a term by Ben Sura Mora that we find very rarely in Shas. A few times, but very rarely, which is, the Gemara asks, if Ben Sura Mora will never happen, why do we do it? Drosh v'kabal schar, right? So everyone asks, well, why suddenly here, right? Drosh v'kabal schar. Why here does the Gemara say, well, even if it never happens, it's worth having because it's worth learning about. But if I'm right, that the entire point of the mitzvah meikara was meant to be educational, right? Right, then it doesn't need to actually happen. Right? The fact that we have an institution that tells you that we'd be willing to kill someone for educational purposes tells you, right?
They use Hatyachinov ever.
Exactly, right? I mean, that deterrence are in general, right? Then Drosh V'Kabal Schar is particularly appropriate by Ben Sura Mora because the whole institution is educational to begin with. So maybe it'll never happen, but the fact that you understand the halachos and realize the underpinnings of it, that we'd be willing to kill to teach the lessons, the importance of Kedoshim Tiyu, etc., right? That itself, Drosh V'Kabal Schar, right, is the sort of mitigated equivalent of, right, Laman Yishmu V'Yiro. So let me know what you think. Anyways, that's my basic mahalach. We're 1 minute over and done.